Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. Congratulations. We have made it. Self high fives all the way around. Now, every once in a while, I've got the opportunity to do what lots of people want to do. And speaking personally with Bishop E.W. Jackson absolutely falls into that category. And I'm happy to say that he is with us again this afternoon. Bishop Jackson, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Jeff. That's awfully kind of you. I'm not so sure that everybody shares that view, but I'm honored to be on with you.
Well, it is our honor to have you on. And for those that might not want to talk to you, I promise I'm not going to use as many adjectives about you as they would, although the ones I would be rather complimentary, as you know.
Right. Oh, thank you. That's reassuring.
Yes. So give me a sense. I was looking, in fact, at that an email I saw just, 20 minutes ago came in from your organization with standamerica.us talking about the importance of the preamble to the Constitution and how that applies today. Do you mind sharing with everybody this whole thing about domestic tranquility and peace?
Well, no, first of all, thanks again for having me on, Jeff. Well, look, you don't think about how prescient in some ways the founding fathers were and the documents that they drafted were that are now our governing documents. But in the preamble to the Constitution, they say one of its purposes was to ensure domestic tranquility. And I thought that could have been written today. Because what we don't have today is domestic tranquility. I mean, we've got police being slaughtered in our streets. We've got young people being shot down in crossfire. We've got violence, rioting, looting taking place. I think 570 different riots in 220 locations across the country in the last 3 months alone. So we don't have domestic tranquility. And one of the points I was making in that email is, those who don't take action against this lawlessness are betraying our Constitution and betraying the American people, because that's one of the most fundamental responsibilities of government, yes, to ensure that people can live peaceably. And they're failing in these cities across the country by the numbers. And they're criticizing President Trump for wanting to do something about it. But my goodness, go back to the Constitution. It was 233 years ago when the founding fathers said that's one of the purposes of government.
But the only thing, Bishop, I was watching, I think it was CNN the other day, and they told me that these were mostly peaceful protests, and with the exception of some arson here and there, I mean, it was all good to go. I mean, nothing wrong with it.
Well, one of the other things that the founding fathers said was that our Constitution is only adequate for a religious and moral people. Yes. In other words, there's got to be some sense in which there's certain moral principles that govern us that government doesn't require to be right. to govern us, because we govern ourselves. But when you have a press that is protected by our Constitution that regularly and consistently lies, it really kind of undermines one of the principles that make it possible for us to remain free. I mean, how can you say they're mostly peaceful? I mean, that ship has sailed. We're looking at an attempt, in my view, to destabilize the entire country, let alone to have riots and protests over the false issue of police brutality, which is not an issue at all, because the fact of the matter is that police are doing a tremendous job in this country, and those incidents are few and far between. The real dangers in our inner cities are coming from the criminal class that is out creating murder and mayhem and destruction of property, and the police are being restrained from stopping them. Once again, back to the whole domestic tranquility issue, they can't do their job because the politicians won't let them. They side with the rioters.
Absolutely. Bishop E.W. Jackson is joining us. And Bishop, I sometimes wonder if it's too late. You know, you travel in a certain circle, and I travel, I would dare say, in a comparable circle, people of faith and people who love this country. And amongst the people that I know and I interact with, frankly, on a daily basis, there is a love for this country. There is a desire to make sure that everybody is treated properly and given the respect they deserve. But are we just rapidly becoming a minority not to be acknowledged in any way?
You know, Jeff, I'm convinced that we're the majority, but I think, unfortunately, we've been silent for too long. I think that the decent people of our country are busy raising their families, earning a living, running their businesses, taking care of their personal responsibility, and kind of leaving a lot of the rabble-rousing and stuff to others and figuring, they'll get over that. But now we've got to realize that we are in a moment in our country unlike anything we've ever seen before, in which we're finding out now that we've got a whole generation of people, practically speaking, who don't even see the virtue of a constitutional republic. They think socialism would be better. Mm-hmm. You can only think that way if you've been indoctrinated to believe that, because there's nothing in history that would suggest that, and yet that's where we are. And so it's time for good people to speak up. And I'm convinced that if we do that, if people all over this country will begin to stand up for what we know is true, I was saying, for example, yesterday in our Constitution read-in, which we held, that the lies told about our country. Well, this is a white supremacist country. It's a racist country. I said, well, if you study the history of our country, you will find that there's never been a moment at which race and oppression of black people, of minorities, and slavery was not a topic of hot debate. Well, if we're a racist country, why was it even debated? Mm-hmm. It was debated because our people knew in their own consciences when we were off the mark of our goals and our principles and our values, and we've always sought to pull ourselves back. Yes. We're not a racist country. We're a noble country, but we're not perfect because human beings are not. And yet that's not the story that's being told. The story that's being told is how terrible America is. I'd hate to see the world where had there never been a United States of America.
You know, Bishop, I was reading a letter that you had written, and I want to get it exactly right how you would start it. It says, "Dear fellow Americans of African descent." So I thought, well, I don't know, perhaps this is not necessarily directed at me. But then as I'm reading through it, I come across just one line that stood out to me. And I thought, well, yeah, this is for everybody, this part, for sure. The proverb says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Do we have a vision in this country?
Well, we do. But I think that vision has been clouded by the racial demagoguery and the anti-American polemic that has been propagated by the mainstream media, by journalism, by colleges and universities. But the vision of America, frankly, is a vision of individual liberty. And what it ultimately means, Jeff, is that you and I don't care about the color of one another's skin. Right. What we care about is our character and our decency, and that we ought to deal with one another on that basis and that basis alone, and that we care about our neighbors not because we're ordered to by government, but because we're decent people who want to get along with others and want to make a contribution to our culture and to our country. And we're a nation of strong families. We're a nation of innovation and invention and entrepreneurship, and we're a nation of faith. We believe that there are principles that are higher than us as human beings that we don't get to simply invalidate because we don't like them. So we don't steal from one another. We don't murder one another. We don't cheat one another. We don't do these things because they're wrong. All of that's been lost in the less moral and cultural relativism. And yes, that's the vision I think most Americans hold in their hearts. You know, my dad used to say, I don't take handouts. I work for a living. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's claiming entitlement. You know, everybody owes me. Well, I think we've got to get back to the vision that made it possible for this nation to become the greatest nation in the history of mankind. And that vision, I believe, still beats in the hearts of most Americans.
I would absolutely concur with that. I have to wonder, though, you talk about what your father told you. I think about the lessons my father imparted to me. And then I realize that there's an entire generation of young men, especially in the black community in places like Richmond, where the out of wedlock birth rate is 75-80%. So these young men have never gotten a lesson or an education or a talking to or a kick in the behind from their father.
Yeah, and you know, that's the dirty little secret that nobody wants to talk about. The problem in the black community of America, the inner cities of our country in particular, is not racism. It's the breakdown of the family. It's the fact that these young men don't have a vision because they haven't had fathers, for the most part, to impart a vision to them. They've been abandoned. They've been neglected. In some cases, they've been abused. And so their country, I think, is really the target of their bitterness and hatred and anger over that abandonment. And I think we've got a big job to do to restore that. I tell my church people all the time, you know, that you've got to be spiritual fathers. We've got to refer people to Father God. We've got to make people know that they're not abandoned and that their hurts and their pains from the past don't have to define their lives. Look, I was raised in foster care, Jeff. I don't know whether you know this. Until 10 years old.
Yep.
My father took over my life when I was 10 and changed, revolutionized my life. Well, I sympathize and empathize with these kids out there who don't have dads. And it's something that we've got to address. Frankly, that's a much, much bigger problem than race, because 90% of the men in prison are men who grew up without a dad in the home.
Yeah. Now, the personal question, the selfish question I have to ask you, Bishop, you talk about telling your church people, are you holding services on a weekly basis?
Been doing it since the very beginning. We never stopped.
Uh-huh.
We never stopped. And Jeff, we've had no outbreak of COVID. Nothing like that has happened in our church. And I, look, we're responsible people. We care about our neighbors. But I really believe that the church has a sacred opportunity and responsibility to say to people, we will not be governed by fear. We're not going to be irresponsible. We're going to do those things that we feel are prudent and appropriate based upon everything we hear. We're going to weigh it, though. And then we're going to make the decisions that we feel are best for ourselves and our families. And that's what we've done in our church. And we've had no problem with COVID whatsoever. And frankly, I think the church, once again, has got to be an example to the country, because I think the country, Jeff, has been gripped with fear here for the last 3 months. And it's really a shame. We call ourselves the land of the free and the home of the brave. But lately we've become the land of the mandates and the home of the cowardly. So and I'm not, you know, knocking people who have been caught up in this. I'm just saying that we can't stop our lives. We can't, you know, stop the world from revolving. We've got to keep working and going. That's what we Americans do.
That's right. Now, I preface that question by saying personal and selfish. The reason I'm asking is I'm planning a road trip because I want to come out there on Sunday and sit in a pew while you're preaching, because you're this good on the air with me, and I appreciate it. And man, I can only imagine being there for the real deal on Sunday.
Well, that's very kind of you, Jeff. Look, we do the best we can with the gifts that God has given us. And I'm just grateful, frankly, and I don't say this gratuitously or glibly, I'm really just grateful to live in a country where I can do that every Sunday. I don't have to worry about the police knocking on the door and telling me, shut up, you can't do that, or you've got to shut down, which has been happening around the country. Right. And we just want to make sure America remains that place where we can worship our God freely and don't have to be concerned about the heavy hand of the state telling us what we can and cannot do.
Well, listen, we are grateful that you are willing to share your gifts that are God-given with us, and I look forward to doing it again, and I won't be the first or the last to say this to you. Stand strong, and God bless you, and thank you for making time for us.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. That is Bishop E.W. Jackson, standamerica.us, standamerica.us, Bishop E.W. Jackson. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.